Number one, truth is universal. It's universal. If it is true, it applies to everyone, everywhere, around the world, in every culture. If it does not apply to everyone, everywhere, it's not truth, it's an opinion. Because truth is universal. Number two, truth is unchanging.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. In a time where tolerance is valued more than truth, every believer in Christ needs more than ever to know what it takes to build a godly foundation for their life. As we continue this series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick will look closely at the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book by Pastor Rick that's both spiritually uplifting and visually stunning. It's called The Purpose of Christmas, and it reveals the true biblical meaning of the season. You can find out more about how to secure a copy for yourself or for a friend just in time for Christmas by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. That's rickwarren.org, or you can just text the word daily to 313131 for more info. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Choosing My Standard.
In Isaiah 5:20, he says, destruction is certain for those who say evil is good and good is evil. That dark is light and light is dark. God is not mocked. And he says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And today, what we're seeing happening in the decaying of our culture is we are reaping what we have sowed for the last 40 years. Proverbs 29:18 in the Good News translation says, a nation without God's guidance is a nation without order. It's chaos. Now, our nation was founded on the two presuppositions, that God is in heaven, our rights are endowed by our Creator, and that we are to follow basic moral laws that He has laid out. And that's the cornerstone of our society. I once read a study of 15,000 documents of the founding fathers of our nation, letters, articles, documents, and discovered that 34% of the quotes of all the founding fathers of our nation were directly from the Bible. 34%. Now, even today, some politicians are starting to wise up that it's not just the economy, stupid. But it's the moral decay that's going on, and people don't know how to live by values anymore. They don't know right and wrong. And you probably may have never even heard of this, but this last month, on March 5th, the United States House of Representatives, in consent with the Senate, passed a resolution saying, it's gone far enough. We believe that the Ten Commandments should be posted publicly anywhere, including any government building, office, and courthouse. Now, I'm not going to read this whole thing to you, but listen, this is a resolution passed by Congress this month, and of course you didn't hear much about it, House Concurrent Resolution 31. Whereas the Ten Commandments have had a significant impact on the development of the fundamental legal principles of Western civilization, and whereas the Ten Commandments set forth a code of moral conduct, observance of which is universally acknowledged to promote respect for our system of laws and the good of society, now therefore be it resolved by the House of Representatives, the Senate concurring, that it is the sense of Congress that, one, the Ten Commandments are a declaration of fundamental principles that are the cornerstone of a fair and just society, and two, the public display, including display in government offices and courthouses of the Ten Commandments, should be permitted, passed by the House of Representatives March 5th, 1997, attested by Robin Carlyle, clerk. Now, you say, how in the world did that come about? Well, it came about from a guy named Judge Roy Moore. Any of you familiar with this story? 2 years ago, Judge Roy Moore, who is a decorated Vietnam vet and a circuit court judge in the state of Alabama, 2 years ago, Judge Moore was sued by the American Civil Liberties Union because he had a little hand-carved wooden plaque of the Ten Commandments in his courthouse. And he started each day in court with prayer. And so they sued him. Never mind the fact that the Ten Commandments are engraved on the wall of the inside of the Supreme Court. And never mind the fact that the House of Representatives and the Senate, Congress, start every day with prayer. Judge Moore couldn't do it in his courthouse. And he said, no, I'm not taking it out. And so the ACLU got another judge to issue an injunction saying, you must remove the Ten Commandments from your courthouse and you must stop praying in your court to open each session. He said, no. So the governor of Alabama and the attorney general of Alabama joined forces supporting Judge Roy Moore, and the governor, James, made a statement, if you try to take the Ten Commandments out of that courthouse, I will call out the National Guard to protect it. Now, that just raised the stakes a little bit. Then six other state governors wrote to Governor James and said, we support you too. It's stupid. When the founding fathers say the Ten Commandments and the Bible are the basis of our Constitution and all of our laws, to say you can't have it in the courthouse. And then on May 5th, the United States Congress itself passed, March 5th, passed the resolution supporting Judge Roy Moore and saying the Ten Commandments need to start being displayed publicly anywhere and in any government building, including and in every courthouse. But you know what I did? Friday, I called Judge Roy Moore.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Christmas, where is the year gone? You know, a lot of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like you to know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs, and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. Let us send you a hardcover copy of the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. We're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Get your copy of The Purpose of Christmas right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org or 800-600-5004. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Friday, I called Judge Roy Moore. And I thought you might like to hear a little bit, 3 minutes of an interview I did on the phone.
Judge Moore speaking. Judge, this is Pastor Rick Warren at Saddleback Church in California.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today?
Fine.
Great. Judge, you know, your insistence that having the Ten Commandments in your courtroom has attracted worldwide attention. And I'd like for you to just explain to our congregation some of your reasons why you feel so strongly about having the Ten Commandments in the courtroom.
It demonstrates the foundation of our Constitution,
mm-hmm.
the foundations of our laws, both civil and criminal, and it is an acknowledgement of God, and I am firmly convinced that it is our duty under the Constitution to support it and you can't support something by destroying its foundation. The government of the United States was clearly founded upon a belief in a divine creator, and even in the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was stated they were entitled to be a separate and equal station among the powers of the earth by the laws of nature and of nature's God, which is explicitly defined in the laws, the will of the Maker, and the revealed laws from the Holy Scriptures.
Why is it, do you think, that most people don't know that the Founding Fathers relied on the Bible and in fact, quoted it a lot?
Well, I think because they have neglected history and neglected the study of our Constitution. This is a nation that was truly founded upon a belief in God. You can look back to the Mayflower Compact in 1620, where they said that the main purpose they had in undertaking the journey to America was for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Hmm. You can look at the Declaration of Independence. You could look at any number of things in our history and that they truly meant to acknowledge God.
Can you give me some examples of how the Bible has influenced our own Constitution?
You look at the preamble. It says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, we ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Those blessings of liberty were blessings given of God. If you look back into the second sentence of the Declaration, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In that sentence, they said, God gave us our liberty. And the next sentence says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the extent of the governed. They said the same thing in the Constitution as they did in the Declaration. Government is there to secure the liberties given of God. And furthermore, in the Constitution, you'll find the 5th and 14th Amendment, which states that life, liberty, and property are not to be deprived except by due process of law.
And those are directly out of the Ten Commandments.
The entire concept of the Constitution, the separation of powers and checks and balances, goes to the concept that man is a fallen creature and needs a check on his nature.
What do you think happens to society or to families or even individuals when we don't have any objective standard to judge our behavior by?
Well, what happens is what you're seeing in our society today with children killing their parents, killing their children, and you see our educational standards falling apart. And you see that the corruption in public office continues to grow. You see a morality declining, if not disappearing altogether.
You know, this just struck me. I hadn't seen this before, but when he was quoting the preamble, the Declaration of Independence, we're not allowed to teach creation in schools today, but if you have the Declaration of Independence on the wall in the classroom, it says they are endowed by their Creator. That's a very interesting little comparison there. The Founding Fathers didn't have any doubt that there was a Creator. Now, here's what I want to say about this. Even if the Founding Fathers of America had not believed in God, believed in God's Word, and believed in there are moral rights and wrongs, God's truth would still be true. Because it's not dependent upon public opinion. Now, the question is, as we go into this series, not how can I change society, but how can I live a life of value in a world that can't even decide what's right and wrong? And how can I raise children with basic lasting values in a world where teachers can't teach basic right and wrong because of relativity, secularism, and individualism? And how do I build my business on values in a world when everybody else is in a dog-eat-dog, cutthroat world? What do I do? Notice what the Bible says. Psalms 11:3 in the God's Word translation. When the foundations of life are undermined, what can good people do? And here's the cure. The cure is rebuild the foundation. Rebuild the foundation of your life, of your business, of your family. And that means start at the beginning with God. Why? Because God is truth. What makes something wrong? Not because we say it's wrong, but because it's anti-God. It's anti his character. God is honest. So when we're dishonest, it's wrong. God is faithful. So when we're unfaithful, it's wrong. God is just. So when we're not fair, it's wrong. When we are different than the character of the Creator who made us, it's wrong. When we are like the character of the Creator who made us, it's right. Does that make sense? That's how you decide what truth is. Proverbs 2:9. God, circle that. God shows us how to distinguish right from wrong. How to find, not some poll or anything else. How to find the right decision every time. Now, I know that there are many schools and things that are trying to teach values without God. Listen, it is morality without God is impossible. I didn't say that. Abraham Lincoln did. 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's read this together. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. Now, I want you to circle the three things the Bible teaches, it says. It teaches what is true, it teaches what is wrong, and it teaches what is right. If God says it, it's absolutely true. Whether I understand it, whether I agree with it, whether I like it or not, it's true because it came from God. Now, you say, Rick, how do I know when something's truth and when it's just an opinion? Well, let me give you two characteristics. You write these down. How do you know when something's truth and not just an opinion? Number one, truth is universal. It's universal. If it is true, it applies to everyone, everywhere, around the world, in every culture. If it does not apply to everyone, everywhere, it's not truth, it's an opinion. Because truth is universal. Number two, truth is unchanging. It's always the same. It doesn't change. It isn't impressed by fads or fashion. It is unchanging. For instance, if adultery was wrong 4,000 years ago, it was also wrong 2,000 years ago. It is wrong today, and it will be wrong 2,000 years from today, no matter what anybody else says. Because truth is unchanging. And it's universal. Now, facts change, but truth doesn't. For instance, 25 years ago, science used to tell us the smallest particle of life is the atom. That's the truth. Well, the fact is, since then, we've discovered five layers beneath that. Quarks and all these other things. Subatomic particles. And so, that's not true. It was a fact, but it wasn't true. And now we know they're even smaller things. So when something changed, it was a fact that with more discovery, we learned, well, that wasn't really correct. Now, what's the benefit of building my life on absolute, universal, unchanging truth? Look at these benefits. Psalm 119. God's word is a flashlight to light the path ahead of me and keep me from stumbling. He says, if I build it on unchanging truth, I won't stumble so much. I won't make so many mistakes. And then Proverbs 16 is a promise. Remember last week I said there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible? Here's another one of them. Those who listen to God's instruction will prosper, and those who trust the Lord will be happy. Prosperous and happy, and keep from stumbling. So what's the bottom line? Well, it all comes down to a choice. Newsweek understood this when it did this cover. Whose justice, whose morality, whose community, whose family, whose values? Whose values? That's the issue. Whose values are you going to choose to live by? Now, when you think about it, what's going to be my standard by which I make my decisions in life? You only have three choices. An internal source, an external source, or an eternal source. I can say my values are going to be based on me because I know so much. I am the ultimate arbiter of truth, and I choose what's right and what's wrong, and I decide what's true and what's false. And so I will choose my values based on me. What I think is works, pragmatic, what I think is easy and convenient, and I am my own choice for choosing the standard. I am my own standard for life. Or you could say, I choose external standard. I'm going to look at what the world does. I'm going to go with the crowd. What's most popular? What's the current fad? And I'm going to choose that whatever the world says is right and wrong, that will be my standard too. Realizing that in a few years that's going to change because fads and things change. But I'm going to just do whatever everybody else does. They're my standard. Or three, you say, my choice is God because his truth is absolute, universal, and unchanging. So as we start this series, you got to settle this issue before we do anything else. I want you to write down there, my standard will be, and I want you to put one of three things. If you're going to say, I am my own standard for life, have the courage to put it down. Me. I'm my own God, and I'm choosing to make up my own standards on what I think's right. Or two, I'm going to let the world determine my standards and what's right and wrong, and I'm going to listen to, you know, the talk shows and whatever the poll says, that's how I know what's right. Or I'm going to let God be my standard. Write down G-O-D. Now, let me just be honest with you. If you picked me, myself, as the standard, you don't need to come back for the next 10 weeks. Because frankly, we're not interested in what you think is right and wrong. We're not even interested in what this pastor, what I think is right and wrong. What I'm interested in is, what does God say is right, and what does God say is wrong? Because that's what counts. As I said, there's a lot in this book I don't understand, and it's not easy to follow, but it's true. And if I do it, my life will be blessed.
That's Pastor Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment with a final thought. With Christmas around the corner, we'd like to tell you about Rick's life-changing book, The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick uses surprisingly simple yet often forgotten biblical principles to remind us of the true meaning and significance of the season. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, at the very first Christmas, the angel announced three purposes of Christmas. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. That means Christmas is a time for celebration. And then, for unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's a time for salvation. And then, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's a time for reconciliation, to restore our relationships to God and to each other, to experience the peace of God, to have peace with God, and to have peace with each other. I wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, and now I've just finished a new little gift book for the Christmas season called The Purpose of Christmas. It is the clearest presentation of the good news that I think I've ever written. It's a book that you can give to friends who don't know the Lord, who don't know Jesus Christ, who don't know the true meaning of Christmas. And so we've put it in a small format that you can sign your name at the front and sign the name to a friend. I hope this Christmas you'll pick up several copies and give them as Christmas gifts to your friends who would never go to church, or who don't know much about Jesus Christ, so they can understand the true meaning of Christmas and find faith in Him. I dedicated the book to those who would accept and unwrap and enjoy God's Christmas gift to us, Jesus Christ. I hope you'll pick up The Purpose of Christmas and give it out to many people that they might find the true meaning of Christmas.
Get your copy of The Purpose of Christmas right now by going to rickwarren.org, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org, or just call 800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.